Hello, and welcome to The Knot, a mindful motorcycle podcast, supported by our great friends and sponsors, the BMIC. The British Motorcycle Insurance Community is a new digital insurance-led community building platform for the UK's motorcycle brands, communities, associations, and riders. The BMIC connects riders directly with a regulated, established insurer, eliminating intermediaries and pooling spending power to give back to its members in the form of lower premiums, better cover, and rewards. Visit the bmic.co.uk to see how you and your motorcycle community can benefit.
I don't want a pickle, just want to ride on my motorcycle.
Well, hello. It's just me, Ben, here this week. Although it's not just me this week, because we've got an episode coming, but I've had to do an intro because this week's episode is on the road. It's a live show. It's the first one we've done. I guess they're all live, technically. But this one was in front of real people. Some of you, in fact, you lovely listeners. We were at the Malay Mile. We sat down in the Lost Club to have a chat with a lovely man called Sam Barham. He's far too good looking for his own good. Regular listeners will know quite a lot of this. New listeners might know none of it. But there's a little bit of background about what we do, why we do it, and why motorbikes are just pretty awesome things. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Do check it out. Enjoy.
So welcome to the fourth edition of the Lost Club. We have a few familiar faces up here that you guys, I'm sure, are very aware of. But I will do some introductions. We have Charlie Borman, we have Anthony Partridge, and we have Ben Bowers.
I got the biggest chair. Yay! I got the big chair.
It's because I can see up your kilt.
Shit, sorry.
Obviously, each individual one of these members has a story on their own, but in the recent times, they've obviously started the Nod Pod, a very entertaining podcast. Obviously, we wanted to delve into the reason why they started the Nod Pod. So we thought we'd bring the guys up here, have a little chat, and actually tell the reasons what came with the ideas, where they're hoping it to go, and hopefully a little bit more in depth about the actual mental health side of things as well. So firstly, Ben, could you give us a little overview of you guys first, as what brought you together as a friends, and then how that amalgamated into the Nod Pod?
Yeah, so I mean, the unifying thing in all of this is motorcycles, as you would expect, I guess, that motorbikes brought us together. Actually, Charlie and I got together because we both lost bollocks through cancer.
Okay.
I lost both of mine. Yeah. And Charlie only lost one.
Okay.
Ant's got both of his, but between us, we've got three bollocks in front of you, which is, you know, fairly.
Which is the reason why Ben can wear his kilt. So
yeah, yeah. I've got literally no shame anymore. Nothing to hide, literally, other than a massive penis. it only looks bigger because there's no bollocks. Anyway, sorry. Just need to stop drinking at most times. Charlie and I met through a friend, actually. We were introduced because we'd been through some adversity. We both had cancer.
Yeah.
We both rode bikes, so we met. And that was a long time ago, wasn't it, Charlie? Too long. And he's been clinging onto my coattails ever since.
I thought it was that way around.
Yeah, yeah, just basking in my shadow.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Of course.
And then Anthony, again, through actually DGR, I think, was where we originally met, through Mark Hauer, founder of DGR, and Anne came along. I host the London Ride, so we connected through that. And so we've been friends for a long time, and you know, just riding bikes and hanging out and having a good time. And I'd always wanted to really combine two of my great passions, which is men's health, mental health, through my own adversity and challenges I've faced and all the work I've done for Movember over the years.
Yeah.
And my love of riding bikes. And I think we said it in the episode recently, Charlie, was like, actually, we didn't realise we've been performing mindfulness our whole riding careers without realising actually we've been looking after our own mental health just simply by riding motorbikes. So it was the idea that how can I like combine those two great passions in a way that entertains and empowers, I guess.
Yeah.
Like create a podcast that we talk about stuff, we really normalize conversations around mental health in a way that just feels natural. It's not explicitly a mental health podcast. It's a It's not explicitly a motorbike podcast either. It's just.
There are some tangents that. Bear off to, aren't there? Just
yeah.
Some of the chats.
Just a few. Yeah.
Like, the overriding, like the entry point is you have to ride a motorbike to come on the podcast.
Fair.
When you rode it doesn't actually really matter. But at some point you've slung your leg over a motorbike and gone forwards. And that's the qualifier. After that, it's just about people. And it's about people's experiences and shared passions. And then we kind of dive into some of the heavier stuff.
Yep.
And in a way that's just normal, right? Like we can have a conversation now about motorbikes. We can talk about, you know, I might be feeling a bit stressed at the moment as well because I've got a lot on my plate. And that's okay to talk about.
Yeah.
It's just normal. That's life, right? Yeah. We all have this stuff going on. And we can come together, ride motorbikes and talk about it. And that's what the podcast is about.
Excellent. And so the podcast, we're on the second season now. Is that correct?
We're at season two. Yeah, coming towards the end of season two.
Okay.
Well, maybe we might just keep going. If anyone out there wants to keep sponsoring us, we are relatively expensive, but available.
So, Ants, obviously, you met these guys at DGR with a wealth of TV experience. Obviously, you may have seen this lovely gentleman on, is it Goblin Works?
Yeah.
And some other Discovery Channel programmes?
Goblin Works, Goblin Mod Shop.
Nice. And you obviously very much bring the entertainment on the show. With some crazy stories.
You've heard the edits that got cut out then, because those don't usually make it into the podcast. I'm the censored one.
And obviously with these guys going through their struggles of that Ben has just mentioned, actually that's the first time I realised about yourself, Charlie, obviously going through the same thing. How have you found it being involved with these two guys, obviously with their cancer journey, and how has it have you had moments in your life where it's been affected in a similar way?
Well, these guys having no nuts really affects my life a lot. I have to hear about it all the time. So, you know, my mental health is decreasing just by osmosis. What's great for me, and I only just realized like a few podcasts ago, that I love coming together and chatting with these guys. We don't see each other a lot, and it's nice to be with your friends. And,
Thank fuck for that. Because that really would do my fucking mental health.
But we get to have a chat with some wonderful people. And, you know, once people start opening up about conversations, you kind of open up yourself and you kind of like swap stories about it. And then, you know, you kind of take a step back and you look at it and you go, you know what, this is actually helping me as well. Because
the cathartic nature of it.
But it flows so easily. So it's not like, boom, now we're going to talk deep. It's just kind of like, a story could go from something really funny into ending quite sinister, and the effects of that has caused, you know, issues in someone's life. And then you realize that, shit, that happened to me too, or you know what I mean? Or that happened to me, but I didn't realize it until I've heard the story from the other side. So it's every podcast is great, and I come away personally with a lot of joy and you know. Some tools that I can use to work on.
So basically what it's turned into is a fucking therapy session for Ant. He gets free therapy every week on us. And we're just kind of sorting him out.
You've done the years of payments to all these therapists.
Yeah. Like people pay really good money for this stuff and he gets it for free. Yeah, it's great.
Nice. So obviously the three of you have got involved with the podcast. You've had some great guests on the show. Charlie, who's been your highlight on the show so far, would you say?
I think for me, by the way, hello, everyone. And welcome to the rainy Mal, which is, it's always nice when it's raining, isn't it? It kind of makes you want to be by the bar longer, I suppose.
It's the biggest audience we've had, to be fair.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not you guys.
It's nothing to do with us. It's just to do with the rain. That's why I only ever come to these festivals when it rains.
Yeah, of course.
To do a talk. So it's a captive audience, you know. Well, I think I could wank on about what those two just said, which frankly was really rather boring. I think probably one of the nicest guests that we've had. We've had a couple. There was Damon Hill was very interesting, and I'm sure what a lot of people don't realize is that even though he had the most amazing Formula One career, he started off racing motorcycles. And his life story was really interesting. You know, when his father died, Graham Hill, in a plane crash, you know, all the sharks, everybody came for their money and left them with nothing really. and they sort of had to start again. And, you know, he wanted a race, so he started racing motorcycles because it was cheaper and he loved them anyway, and then got into Formula One. So that was super interesting. But one of the ones on the most recent pods was probably Mark Richardson, who's the drummer from Skunk and Nancy. And he...
Some of the people here might have met him. He was one of the marshals on the UK rally, actually. I think he might even be joining the mountain rally this year.
Yes, he is joining the mountain rally this year. And, you know, he's an amazing guy, and he's very understated, and he's probably one of the best drummers in the world, because he said all the ones that are better than him have died from drugs and drink and alcohol. And he said he was kind of going the same way.
Absolutely.
And he woke up one morning sitting in a chair, vomit all down his front, the back door, front door open, wife, son, friends, everybody gone. And he just thought, how did I get here? And where am I going to go? And then Skunk and Nancy, they rang up and said, look, if you don't get your shit together, you're out.
Yeah.
And he was just going to be another drummer statistic.
Yeah.
And how he changed his life around was inspiring, really. And as Ant and Ben have said, it's humbling to be able to listen to those stories. And you sit there thinking, fucking hell, my life's great.
I mean,
years ago, back in 2016, I ended up flying off my motorbike and hit a wall and smashed my legs to pieces and had something like 27 operations to be able to walk again. And I remember waking up the next morning, and I remember looking over at the bed beside me, and I was looking down and had two broken legs. My right hand was broken as well. And so I had one limb left, and I was feeling really, really sorry for myself. And I'm thinking, I've really fucked up here. And I noticed there was someone else in the room. There was another guy in a bed, and I looked at him, and he was in a really, really bad way, much, much, much worse than I was. And I remember looking back at my injuries and actually feeling quite cheery about the whole thing and thinking, actually, this isn't so bad.
Yeah.
And so, as Mark said, and lots of the people who've been on the podcast have said, you know, it's maybe bad for you, but you know, you have to remember that there are people who are suffering much worse.
Of course.
So it's been, in that regard, it's been really interesting meeting all these people.
You're talking to an audience, I don't mean to be disrespectful, of a generation that maybe don't necessarily, that natural urge to share the worries that may be on their shoulder, you know, just very much brought up, you just get on and put on a brave face and carry on and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. So.
Well, that's why 70% of suicides are men.
Absolutely.
Because they've been trained not to complain, bottle it inside. Women are fantastic at expressing themselves, and loads of work has been done, and cancer and checking for it and making sure that they're okay is a fantastic thing. And, you know, and that's why women should really rule the world, not men, because
Absolutely.
Men just think with their cocks and
then bottle everything else up.
Extraordinary. I mean, yeah, bottle everything else up. Look at Putin. I mean, if he could find his cock, that would be great. But it's a prime example.
So, passing over to Ben. Obviously, you
such
are...
Such a good example, Charlie. Yeah. Putin. I did not think Putin would come up in conversation today.
Especially not at the Valley Mile.
Absolutely nailed that. Yeah, well done.
So, obviously, as you were alluding to earlier, being on a motorcycle, you're very much almost in that meditative state, especially when you're... You know, if you're fortunate enough to get onto like track days or even just going for a ride, but you're pushing things to the element. I know from my own experience and my own mental health issues and things like that, that some of the most peaceful times I've had is when I've actually been on the mile, gunning it, pushing my body onto its limit. Doesn't mean I'm doing crazy speeds.
Slightly beyond its limit.
Slightly beyond its limits. Yeah. This weekend did my knee. Anyway, another story.
Did enthusiasm outweigh your ability?
It absolutely did, unfortunately. It's a common occurrence, unfortunately. Knowing that you're in that moment that you're just flowing through the road, you actually don't think about it. You don't even think about the road that you're riding on to some degree, don't you? You just get into that mental state. For me, that's the closest to meditation. It's something that I can't sit down and do that meditative thing.
It is meditation. It's not close to it. That's the definition of mindfulness, being present in the moment with no other clutter going on, not thinking about anything, just focused on the being present there.
Yeah.
And for some people, they do yoga. Some people, they meditate. For us, we ride motorbikes.
And what do you advise people that, obviously, they're having this meditative state, they still have things to clear up, they want to... They don't know the channel to actually voice their concerns. What's the best way? What can you advise everybody?
Well, look, the podcast is called The Nod, right? And that's because it was called The Nod for a reason, because it's that acknowledgement we all give in the motorcycle community when you ride past someone, not in Europe, or if you ride a Harley, you probably don't do this, but the rest of us, when we see a biker, and also when we're outside the M25, because we don't date inside the M25 either, it's weird, but that's the truth, we acknowledge each other with the nod. And it's that universal acceptance, that acknowledgement that you know what I know, and all the people in the cars don't know, that this is mega. This is the best thing you could be doing right now. And nobody else is in that club. It's our little club, and we all acknowledge it. And I like to think that that nod is that acknowledgement that we are all together in this. I don't know who you are. I can't see your face. I don't know where you're from. I don't know what you do. But you ride a motorbike, so you're in, right? And for me, the podcast is a kind of reflection of this. Motorbikes do two things. They give you anonymity and isolation. They give you the opportunity to put on your helmet, disappear, and just go and be alone and be mindful and enjoy that. Whether you're commuting or a weekend or a tour, doesn't matter. You have that time just to be on your own, isolated. Nobody can touch you. Nobody can reach you. Nobody can talk to you. It's just you doing something you fucking love, right? Scaring yourself a little bit. But the other thing that bikes do is when you pull up in a car park, you're in the club, and it doesn't matter who you are. You pull up next to a biker, you can have a conversation with them. If you break down on the side of the road, if someone rides a bike and they're in a car, they'll probably stop and make sure you're okay. They wouldn't do that if you're in a car. So there's this isolation, but there's this universal acceptance that we are all part of this community. And it doesn't matter, like I say, who you are, where you're from, what you do, what your political views are, what pronouns you go by. I didn't give a fuck, right? You ride a bike, you're in. So there's this wonderful juxtaposition that I can be totally isolated, but if I need to talk to someone, I'm pretty sure if you ride a bike, you're probably going to listen. You're probably going to have a conversation with me. And that is so empowering for all of us, because we will all speak to people if they ride a bike. Everyone else can get fucked, right? Yeah, these car drivers, cyclists, whatever. I do all of that stuff.
Taking a hard road.
But look, I ride a bike. If you want to come and talk to me, come and talk to me. Like, I'll listen. And that's what the podcast is about. That's what I think what motorbiking is about. It's just that community. And
have you found that that's translated from doing the podcast, even though you're only in the second season? You know, that have you found that there's been more conversations happening with people? Even it could be sort of behind closed doors. It could be, you know, one of the close friends that maybe hasn't yet already, but then has because of the listening to you guys.
Well, I think like the biggest compliment we get is when people reach out and say, thank you.
Yeah.
I listened to that episode. We've had like countless people reach out to us, and we know for the ones that actually take the time to message us, there's others that have been impacted that's been tenfold. But people say, look, great, you know, Damon Hill's episode, people reached out to me, some of the marshals here at the mile messaged me going, actually I lost my dad and I hadn't really processed it. Listening to Damon talk about grief actually gave me that moment to stop and reflect myself. And we've had countless people messaging saying, yeah, look, it was really nice to hear someone talk about stuff that I can relate to. And it gave me the opportunity to stop and reflect and think about it myself.
Yeah.
And like, man, that's a superpower.
Yeah.
That's the cool. It might be mildly entertaining. We're all quite funny sometimes, maybe. You know, it's an hour's worth of lighthearted banter about bikes and shit. But actually, some of the stuff we talk about matters, and people relate to it, and it helps them. And that's a really humbling thing to be able to do.
Yeah, amazing. So what's next on the Nodpod? What guests can we expect to see at the end of this one? Because it's not... How many more episodes have you got coming, or do you...
Well, we're one or two more left in season two, no?
Yeah,
maybe depending. More. We might go on a bit.
Yeah.
It's always quite hard because we all do different jobs and we're in different parts of the country. So, and then a guest could be, you know, in Wales or something, and is trying to organize the calendar to get it all work when we're all here. Charlie's never in the country. I try not to be in the country as much as I can.
I'm always here.
Ben's always here. So this year what we did on season one, we had a studio in London.
Yeah.
So we had all the guests come to London. So it was a little bit easier for logistics. But this year what we're doing, we've decided we're going to go for a ride with all our guests. So the guests come down. We usually meet at Charlie's house. Do you want to tell them the address? Do you want everyone to know where he's at? I'll put it on the web. But we meet at Charlie's house. We have a cup of tea. Norton or Triumph or someone will give us some nice bikes to ride.
Yeah.
And we'll go for a little blast around his house through some nice roads. And then come back and have a chat after the pod. So it's kind of a new format, but it works really well.
And, well, I suppose it gives a more relaxed vibe to it as well.
And we're not like on the clock when you've got a studio and someone else is coming in after you, so we can be free to run over or talk longer or whatever.
Well, but then individually then, obviously you all have your careers independently. What's the next things for you each moving forward now as well? Are there any exciting projects on the line?
Myself, I've got a couple of bikes to finish for some clients.
Yeah.
As always. As always. One bike's the bane of my existence. It's been over a year now, but it's nearly there.
Sure.
So we don't count COVID. No, but that bike's almost done. It's going to go to Canada. I'm going to follow it to Canada.
Nice.
And spend a few weeks there with him. And then I've got to go to LA. We're doing a few bits and pieces out there. And then I can't say much, but there is a new TV show looming.
Is that an exclusive here?
It is. This is an exclusive here.
On what it's worth.
It's all bikes, only bikes. And I don't know what I can say and what I can't, but it will be bikes. Yeah. And it's coming hopefully
you've
soon.
You've said enough.
Yeah.
Charlie, what's any more big adventures planned? Obviously, I think a lot of the community here are probably very enamored by your incredible travels around the world. Any more planned, or is the double leg break put you off?
Well, I don't know if people saw the last one, which was Long Way Up, which came out not that long ago after I broke my legs. So that one was good, electric from bottom of Argentina to Los Angeles. And that was quite a challenge because there are no fast chargers in South America, Central America or Mexico. It was quite hard work. I mean, I think electric works if there are fast chargers around and stuff. Yeah. But there's always possibility of a few more. We've been chatting between the four of us about maybe another long way. So that's a good possibility.
Yeah.
But
any ideas on where you would go this time?
Yeah, no, sure. Yeah, no, we do. Yeah, absolutely. No hints at all. But see, that's the way to do it. See, Anne? Just that's it. And then alongside of what we're doing with the Nod, I'm starting to do some stuff on YouTube.
Oh yes, okay. Make sure the like YouTube. That. You haven't talked about Dakar yet either.
Oh yeah.
And
Dakar.
Don't worry about the two of them. They're just jealous of my life. So I'm doing these YouTube reviews, which will slip into a TV show, which will be all on YouTube. So hopefully that will work out soon. But other than that, just keeping things going and paying the bills like everybody's trying to do.
And obviously, Ben, you've obviously been very much involved with Movember over the years. What's the next stages for that? Are you still involved with them now?
I'm still an ambassador, still one of the committees there. But the next things on that front is the Distinguished Gentleman's Drive.
Ah, yes.
So
yes,
we're planning that for September. Where's Merlin? I need to speak to Merlin about it, actually. he was very gracious. Merlin, Duke of London, hosted the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride.
Was there anyone here that made year? It to the
anyone
London
at the London DGR? DGR? It's the best one. Yes.
Was it
good?
Did anyone come to the Guildford one?
Anyone at the Guildford one?
I was fully blagging it. Plans for DGD.
Yeah.
So pre-1980s cars.
Yeah.
And a nice drive with some plans on that.
Nice.
So, yeah. And then DGR again next.
Yeah.
Whenever that is, May. And I think in terms of Movember and charity work, there's the artwork for sale here at the Miles. This is my ninth Mallet. This is the ninth Mallet Mile.
Yeah.
Movember have been the charity partner for Mallet since day one. And it's my favourite weekend of the year. If I wasn't so hungover, I'd feel a bit better about it right now. But I feel like it's the sun coming out. It feels like the sun's coming out.
It still looks very damp.
It's brightening up. Shut up. It's brightening up. It's going to be wonderful. And then, of course, I'm going to be back on the commentary booed.
Well, before you head back there, do we have any questions from the audience that they would like to pass over? This is your chance. Grill them.
Who would like to ask Charlie Borman a question? Has he done the Dakar Rally, Charlie?
Just not to make Ben and Anthony. I don't know. It's funny, isn't it, how, you know, the success of one person, you know, makes other people feel really mean. Dakar Rally was always a very painful one.
It didn't all five quite finish days it, of it.
But, yeah, well, didn't we hear, know a guy called Sam Sunderland, who was the first British guy to win the Dakar Rally, and he's won it twice, actually. Anyway, this year, he was on a gas, and he was on the best, one of the best teams at the rally, and he got into the first stage, 36 kilometers into the first stage, fell off and broke his femur. And anyway, I texted him and said, oh, I'm so sorry about your broken femur, but just so you know, I did four more days than you. And I won't tell you what he said afterwards, but...
Plans to go back?
But there we go. But, oh, never. I would love to, but I'm too broken now to... I had that crash in 2016 where I really destroyed my legs. Yeah. And then I had another terrible one in 2018 where I really, really did some more terrible damage. So with another 12 operations. So it was, that's enough, I suppose.
Do you have a number that across the generations of all these accidents?
I don't know, those 100, two, well, there's lots of small broken stuff, but never that badly. So
ask him what happened 2 weeks ago.
What happened 2 weeks ago?
Not a lot, really. So, I suppose, yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us, Jets. Hearing a little bit more. Where can everyone obviously find the Nod Pod?
Oh, yeah, you're good at that. Yeah, you do something, yeah.
Yeah, you can find it on pretty much any podcast platform, Amazon, Apple.
Big thanks to Motorcycle News. They've kind of supported Bauer Media. They help us as a platform to promote it. And any sponsors out there, feel free to come and see me later. Look, it's a lot of fun to do. And we enjoy hanging out together and talking about this stuff.
And ripping each other.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It comes across well.
Like, it's just what we do, right? It's the whole point is a reflection of how we live our lives. So. Exactly. I mean, take the piss out of Charlie, just because, like, literally, he's our idol. we all wish we were just a little bit more Charlie Borman Global Adventure.
Okay, thank you very much.
On that note, thank you very much to the guys for joining us today. We appreciate you, and we're looking forward to hearing you on the mics. Cheers, guys.
Thank you for listening to The Nod, a mindful motorcycle podcast. It was a lot of fun to chat, and it was also a huge amount of fun over the weekend to meet a bunch of you lovely listeners. I think I said in a social post the other day on our Instagram, you know, how humbling it is to get the feedback we did. And in fact, after that post, there was even more came through, and it was just mega, and it really inspires us to keep doing what we're doing. Having said that, this is our penultimate episode of the season. So next week will be the last one for a little while as we take a summer break. Next week's episode is a bit different again. We will be at Silverstone for the MotoGP. So a great interview will be coming up about slightly different side of biking to the ones we normally talk about. I might be riding around the track, probably not racing. Stay tuned for that next week. And we'll be back, as I say, for the last episode of Season 2. In the meantime, a big thanks again to our sponsors, the British Motorcycle Insurance Company. Do check them out online as ever. And in the age-old fashion of the Nod, we'll be back next week. And until then, stay safe, be kind, and do check in on that, mate.